City of Orange Design Review Committee for August 20th, 2025. I'd like to call the meeting to order and begin with a Pledge of Allegiance led by Committee Member Lopez, if you would, please.
Certainly. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. I'd like to next ask Mr. Beckman for a roll call, please.
Certainly. Good evening. Thank you. Committee Member Gross.
Here.
Thank you. Committee Member McDermott.
Here.
Committee Member Ledesma.
Here.
Thank you. Committee Member Lopez.
Here.
Thank you. Committee Member Gladson.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you. Vice Chair Farfan.
Here.
Excellent. Thank you. And Chair Skorpanich.
Here.
Wonderful. Thank you. All committee members are present. We have a quorum.
Thank you. At the top of our agenda today is public comments. This is an opportunity for anyone from the public who'd like to address this committee on something within its purview, but that is not on tonight's agenda. This is your opportunity to come forward and make your comments. Looks like we have no one. So we'll go on to new business. Item 3.1 is approval of a master's sign program for the First Presbyterian Church of Orange Administration Building, located at 191 North Orange Street. This is final approval at our committee. And I look to Mr. Beck for a staff report on this item, please.
Thank you, Chair Skorpanich, and good evening, members of the Design Review Committee. Tonight's item is the Master Sign Program for the First Presbyterian Church of Orange Administration Building. It is a non-contributor to the Old Town Historic District due to significant alterations made to it, and it is currently under construction, which was approved in 2022 by the Planning Commission. The tenant improvements are nearing completion. The applicant is requesting approval of a sign program that will govern all tenant signage for the building. The program establishes consistent standards for wall signs and blade signs, including size, location, construction, and illumination. It permits illuminated channel letters, halo lit signage, and externally lit signs. Blade signs may be up to 15 square feet per face and can incorporate creative shapes and neon. The proposal does not include freestanding monument signs, and all window and directional signs will follow the city's municipal code. Importantly, any tenant signage that complies with this program may be approved administratively without further DRC review. Staff has reviewed the application and the sign program and finds that it complies with the city's municipal code and the historic preservation design standards for Old Town. This sign program will provide a cohesive and historically appropriate framework for tenant signage on the site while supporting both the building's adaptive reuse and the character of Old Town. Staff recommends the committee approve the request as presented. That concludes staff presentation. We're available for any questions.
Thank you. At this time, there's an opportunity for the applicants to make some comments, make a presentation. It's purely optional, so should you want to, you may come forward. Welcome.
Hi, my name is John Newman. I'm here representing 191 North Orange Street. We went ahead and put together the major sign program, putting it in front of you guys for review. Here to answer any questions that you might have on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we will go to anyone here from the public who may want to comment on this item. If we have anyone, this is their opportunity to come forward. Seeing none, I'll turn it back to the committee, but to begin, I'd like to ask Mr. Beck, we did not get, I guess there was a glitch, and we did not get what the development standards are for signage. So could you just give us an overview of what those standards are? I know it has something to do with the frontage of the building, and then they get so many square feet and maximum letter size and so forth. Maybe just give a recap and then confirm that this proposal meets all of those standards, if you would?
Yeah, sure. it's a mix of the municipal code and the historic design or historic preservation design standards for Old Town. So the municipal code for wall signs requires one square foot of signage per lineal foot of street frontage, and then for blade signs, that is specified in the HPDS, and it allows for up to 15 square feet per face for blade signs. The municipal code also speaks to window signage. Window signage is not specified in this sign program. That will be governed by the municipal code. Mm-hmm. Staff did review the proposed sign program against the municipal code, found that it did comply with all those standards. The sign program before you tonight specifies standards for wall signs and for blade signs, and all other signs would be reviewed separately outside of the sign program.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments from my colleagues?
I have a question for staff, and I'm sorry, I don't have a copy of the document in front of me where they address sandwich signs in the program. And could you clarify? I thought there was a prohibition on sandwich signs in Old Town.
Yeah, so it does specify, though both the municipal code does prohibit sandwich signs, and the proposed sign program does have a section of prohibited signs, which includes sandwich signs. I made reference to a blade sign. Is that what you're...
No, I believe in the document that was given... Yeah. Oh, yeah, it says any sandwich sign or A-frame sign.
Any ground temporary supported by poles.
Yeah, any ground temporarily supported by poles or braces placed upon the ground, et cetera, is otherwise permitted. So that just, can we get a little clarity on that?
Sure. If I may, I know Arlen has the language up right now. That section of the proposed sign program is under the list of prohibited signs. And so they do mention it as a prohibited sign as a standard unless otherwise permitted. And so that's consistent with current municipal regulations.
So we're not permitting.
That's correct.
Okay. I misread that. Thank you for that clarification. I appreciate it.
Other questions?
Yes.
Ms. Gladson.
Chair Skorpanich and committee member, I looked for that too, and there it was. I'm like, yay, it's called out in the sign program. Staff, do you think there's a smart idea just to be extra darn careful that we might want to cite the pages within the Old Town standards for signs for non-contributing structures just so they're part of the sign program, particularly since there are signs that are prohibited and the design pieces? I do see where you've checked those compliances, but is it helpful to just cite it a little bit in there? Because my reason for asking is tenants often read the sign program before they go to city code. So is that a thought? Maybe we condition that?
Possibly. I will say that each sign that comes will be reviewed through what's called a minor design review, which is an administrative review. So there will be an additional staff review for when the individual tenant signs come to the planning department. So it may be helpful for a prospective tenant, but that's really up to the DRC.
And do I assume correctly that the property owner is ultimately responsible for making sure that their tenants are following this process of submitting signs for approval before they're installed and so forth. Is that how it works?
That's correct. And one of the regulations in the sign program says that the landlord has to approve it before bringing it to the planning department.
Okay. So. All right. Thank you. We might want to consider a blanket condition that says that it has to adhere to the historic preservation design standards.
Yeah,
because I did notice it individually called out no plastic.
It does, yes.
But there may be some other materials that don't meet the standards that aren't necessarily plastic. Like,
I was thinking about, we don't allow you to do painted signs, particularly on masonry, but this is a non-contributing structure, so it would still be applicable, but it's not in the sign program as a prohibition, but there's some things that get confusing when you're a tenant, when you're looking at where you can put your sign. I'm just trying to cover some of the options for the owner and to kind of have everything. Nobody gets surprised.
Right.
But that's my thought. And then related to that, I'll have questions for the applicant in a moment, but we can go back to that.
Okay. Any other questions? Yes.
Yes, I have one more question, and that is, I know that in the design standards, it mentions color, the light color should be of a warm color, but oftentimes there's a color temperature that is included with the sign program, but I didn't notice that. Is there one?
Not that I'm aware of. I did not come across a color temperature standard for in my review of the sign program.
Okay, that may be something that we want to consider.
Yeah, and I don't know. Did you say you did look at the design standards for that?
It
says warm.
It just says should be of a warm tone or something of that nature.
And we've done this with other projects, is just stipulate that it should be 3,000 Kelvin or less, and that would cover it. And people have something objective to base their decision on. Other questions, comments? Ms. Gladson, did you have something else?
I just had a question for the applicant, too.
Certainly.
We're looking at the details before we get into deliberation. Page 2 of the sign program, I don't think you intend to have the gender references that are in page 2, particularly there's several times where it says the tenant signage, the first paragraph, is in subject to the owner or his managing tenant agent. And then later on this page, there's a number of references to his or him.
Okay.
So I think you want that to be non-gender.
Okay.
To clean that out. I saw that on that page. So you don't want, yeah, because the owner may, as his role or the tenant's choose. So I have them circled. I just think that might be something you'll want to clean up.
Okay.
It's easy to miss that.
Yeah.
And I'll look to the city attorney's office. Do we generally in the code, I remember the city going through the code and cleaning that up at one point. I don't remember if they use their or his, her.
I think it's there.
There, okay. So that might be the best solution. Okay. Anything else? Anyone prepared to make a motion?
Chair, I would just like to ask the applicant if they're willing to put a color temperature standard in for a can that be added to the sign program that the illumination shall be kept to
if there's a color temperature that you guys would want, that'd be fine to put in there. I'm not sure, to be honest with you, what color 3,000 Kelvin and below is. So I don't know if that's the standard around here, then that'd be fine.
For Old Town, we have, correct me if I'm wrong,
been traditionally what we've used.
27, 3,000.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, but okay, if I just want to make sure that it's agreed.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? Okay. Oh, I will make, oh, you want to make a motion?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I'd like to make a motion to approve item 3.1.
Subject to?
Subject to the comments and findings and conditions.
And the staff report, thank you.
And the staff report, thank you.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'm assuming the motion, the maker of the motion was open to the amended corrections as noted with cleanup items and.
Yes.
Perfect, thank you. Mm-hmm.
So those would be, the notes I have are to add a reference to all signage and deemed to meet the historic preservation design standards for Old Town, that the maximum lighting temperature be 3,000 Kelvin, and that the language be gender neutral.
I can second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. May we have the vote, please? The motion passes unanimously. Good luck with your project. Thank you for your time tonight. Okay, we will now move on to item 3.2, a request to add 305 square feet to a non-contributing single-family home in the Old Town Historic District located at 412 South Pixley Street. This is design review number 5146. And this is final approval here at the DRC, except that it needs to go to zoning administrator after us because of a substandard driveway, and I'm sure Mr. Beck's going to tell us all about it in his staff report. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. This is an addition to the existing single-family residence at 412 South Pixley. It's a 305-square-foot addition. The structure is a non-contributing single-family residence in the Old Town Historic District. This property is on an unusually small lot of 2,880 square feet and currently has a 645-square-foot bungalow and detached garage, both of which date to 1923 for construction. This project proposes a one-story rear addition that includes a new master suite, an additional bedroom, and utility space. The design also includes relocating the existing garage to the northwest corner of the property, extending the driveway, and making exterior improvements such as replacing non-original vinyl windows with wood sash windows, removing the non-original front portico, and re-siding the home with hardy board lap siding. Staff analyzed the project and finds it consistent with the historic preservation design standards. The proposed addition is located at the rear of the home, subordinate to the existing structure, and is not visible from the street, ensuring it does not detract from the historic character of the district. The materials and design elements are compatible with the scale, massing, and roof forms of similar style buildings in the neighborhood. The project requires a variance for minimum open space and an administrative adjustment for the substandard driveway width, both of which will be considered by the zoning administrator. Otherwise, the project meets the zoning code requirements. Staff recommends the design review board recommend approval to the zoning administrator, subject to the conditions outlined in the staff report. That concludes staff presentation. We're available for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Beck. This time, there's an opportunity for the applicant to come forward and make a presentation or some comments. It's purely optional.
We don't have anything to add.
Okay, thank you. We may have something for you then. And then we'll go next to see if anyone from the public is here to make comment. If so, this is your time to come forward. Seeing none, I'll bring it back to the committee and see if we have questions and comments.
Chair Skorpanich, I do have some questions, and Planner Beck, and I will guard my excitement because this is the first project where I get to review a historic assessment for a non-contributing property, and you will all have some guidance for me, but I think Mr. Beck might want to guide me on what this historic assessment does for you in reviewing a project like this and what it tells us in terms of that disclosure.
Sure, no problem. So this is a more recent requirement of the city to provide a historic resource assessment. These are prepared by qualified individuals to provide these. The city does have a number of qualified consultants that applicants can use. The purpose of the historic assessment is for non-contributors is to assess the impact of the project on the district as a whole, and to review and make findings that the project is in compliance with the Secretary of Interior standards for historic structures. So these are the things that staff looks for in the historic resource assessment in review of the project.
And put the microphone on. There we go. The assessment is done by a firm, Page Turnbull. They're obviously qualified. They gave us their insights on the plans provided by the applicant, just for background. There's an assessment from them from 2024, and then the plans that we have, I'll talk to the applicant a bit about that. Tell us how all the package kind of works, and now it's in front of us. So tell us how you go through preparing everything.
Yeah, so the historic resource assessment is required when the project is submitted. This project was submitted some time ago, back in 2024, I believe late 2024. It was submitted to the city, and that's when the assessment was prepared. During the plan review, the project changed a little bit, evolved a little bit. Things were tweaked. Overall, the project scope is pretty consistent with what was originally proposed, and it was staff's decision to not require the applicant to go back and prepare a new updated historic resource assessment at that time, because it was just such minor changes that it didn't merit an update.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that, because, and I can share this with you, the applicant can address it as well. The plans don't, I may not see it. The plan set which we're looking at doesn't appear to have a date on it from, but maybe it's not there. The assessment has a date for the plans they looked at, and that's what I want to just be clear. Essentially, with the time it takes to look at these, the date from the package we have is probably from a couple. Maybe it's there.
Yeah, this it was on there when it was a technical error. When it got downloaded, it didn't download the date. These plans were submitted to staff in July, so these are the most recent plans.
July of 25. Okay,
yeah.
I think if we do something with this, depending on what we do, that would be corrected. The plans would have the July date.
That's correct, and they already did. It just didn't download correctly.
Down,
so
because I have them. Okay, great. Uh-huh. That helps me.
And if I could follow up on that, there is also language in one of the standard conditions that following action, it's a precise plan with a specific date on it. So that for matters of the record, the plans that you're reviewing tonight will be the ones that we would check against in plan check.
Well, it looks like there's a pause in the discussion. So what I'd like to do is compliment the project applicants on the very thoughtful scale of your project. It is a small lot, it's a small house, and we're sometimes quite surprised to see these very large out-of-scale additions being proposed for very small houses. So very good job on that. And the fact that you're replacing the stucco and putting back siding again, I think is really going to make a big improvement for the streetscape on Pixley. So I'd like to compliment you on that. And the relocating the garage, because that's a chore, that's a task there. The only things I saw, of course, were the open space, for which you're seeking a zoning variance. Although I will note that based on the staff report, it looks like you meet the percentage of open space for the lot size. So that does not give me any heartburn. The floor area ratio, because the lot is so small, is quite high. And according to the historic preservation design standards, the proposal that we're reviewing should compare the floor area ratio to historic properties. And I see what you've done is compare them to each side of the block and then compare them to the substandard lots. But it looks like that's somewhat unavoidable and understandable given the size of the lot. So I just had one question. I didn't see a plan view that showed what the existing windows were, the materials, and the staff report just says that you're replacing all of the windows, most of which are vinyl. So I'm just curious if there are any old wood windows that you're proposing to replace, or are they all non-wood ones that you're replacing?
I'm sorry, I don't quite understand what you're asking.
So the staff report says that you're replacing all the windows in the house.
Yeah, they're all beat up and junk.
Right. And most of them are vinyl windows?
The current ones, yes.
Okay. And the ones that aren't vinyl, what material are they?
Metal.
Metal. Okay. Okay. I was just wondering if there were any of the, one or two of the original wood windows that's maybe just needs fixing.
Not after 100 years. They wouldn't last. No,
yeah.
Way.
Actually, you'd be surprised they do. They can be repaired and refurbished. Okay, that answers my question. Thank you very much. Any other questions or comments?
Well, I would like to comment and also point out that I'm glad to see the replacement of the windows with wood. I think that is a good compatibility, and removing the portico and the subordinate nature of the addition are all very appropriate. I'm also okay with the open space being a little smaller. It's a substandard lot, and I don't have any problem with the recommending this to the zoning administrator. My only question is if the applicant would be willing to use the smooth finished hardy plank, because I do think that's more compatible in the historic district, even though, you know, I know that it comes in many different finishes, but the wood grain finish does have a tendency to look pretty fake, in my opinion. That's my opinion. Otherwise, I am happy to support this project.
Yeah, that's fine.
Great.
I'm sorry.
If you could just come to the microphone, because we do have people watching from at home and being recorded for perpetuity.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, if we want to change to a smooth instead of a rough finish, that's fine.
Great, thank you.
Anything else?
Anything else?
No.
Okay. Yes.
I do have a couple comments. I don't know that this would be a condition, but driving by the property, everything looks great the way that you have it designed in terms of the landscape. But the existing turf, right now, there's not a whole lot of turf. And is it something that we could put as a condition to at least overseed it and try to fill that in? Because it'd be a shame to have new landscape and everything, but then the existing turf in front of it is kind of substandard.
my impression we're going to re-turf the whole thing. We're going to put all new in.
On the landscape plan?
Yeah, because I think it said that the existing turf will remain in the back.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can put in new turf. I mean, it's only about as big as this little space here.
It's very small. And in terms of just comments, suggestions, you're planning on using St. Augustine down the middle of the driveway?
Yeah.
And that's very similar to cucuya grass from South Africa. Cucuya is what you have in the front yard right now. I didn't go to the backyard. And eventually the cucuya will take over the St. Augustine. So just a suggestion, you may want to take a look at the both of those. They look very similar, and if you don't know the difference in looking at them.
Yeah, that's fine.
It might behoove you to go with the cucuya. And then with regards to some of the landscape plan, and Vice Chair Farhan, you can help me weigh in on this. They're very tight spaces, and the plants are going to outgrow them. When you initially plant them, they're going to look fine. But they're going to be crowding each other out. And you've got the Buxus japonica, which is a boxwood. That typically is sheared into a box, very topiary-ish. And then in the foreground, in the front yard, you've got the Dianella, which is kind of a clump grass-like plant. And then behind it, you have the bush roses. I would suggest you to take a look at that. There's probably room for two of those. In fact, the Buxus japonica with the white bush roses or whatever color rose you want to put behind them, we use that quite often, and it's very attractive. So the Dianella, I would suggest, might be a little bit overkill. And then on the side of the house, the north side of the house with the driveway, same thing. You've got the Dianella in the foreground and with the Buxus japonica, the Japanese boxwood, in the background. And just going based on the rear end of your garage, which would be to the west, you see a scale of 3 foot. And so that planting area next to your driveway looks like it could be 3 foot, maybe a little bit less. And yeah, those plants are going to be crowded there. So just a suggestion. I'm not saying you got to change it, but it'll be an issue you'll probably deal with.
Yeah, we'll give that to the landscape architect. Yeah, the landscape architect actually lives on that street, which he told me the other day. Well, you're kidding, so.
And Mr. Beckman, if you could remind us, do we have landscape under our purview for a project of this nature, for single family?
Generally, the landscaping guidelines are referenced by code, and so as an element of design, it would be your purview to make that recommendation.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Any other comments? Anyone prepared to make a motion?
Chair, I'd like to make a motion to recommend for approval by the zoning administrator, design review number 5146, with the findings and conditions that are listed in the staff report, with an additional condition that the hardy plank siding be provided in a smooth finish rather than a rough finish.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have
second.
A second? We have a second.
Can I ask that a condition be, as a follow-up, that all the turf would be resodded? Thank you.
Does the maker amenable to that?
Yes, I can accept that.
Okay, and the seconder?
Yes, and before we vote, Chair Skrpanich, I think it would be also very helpful, since we don't have a resolution, to bolster our facts for the findings and cite the historic assessment as the reasons why we find this in compliance with the Old Town Standards. So it would be something to the effect of the first finding talks about the fact the proposed project is in conformance with the HPDS as justified by the historic assessment from Page and Turnbull dated November 22nd, 2014. 2024. Sorry, something to like that for each of those as evidence for justification.
It's a bit of belt and suspenders, but I don't think it's going to hurt anything. So, okay. Well, yes, we can include that in the motion.
OK, Okay, so we have a motion and a second. May we have the vote, please? The motion passes unanimously. Congratulations and good luck with your project. That concludes our meeting for tonight. Our next scheduled meeting will take place in these chambers on September 3rd, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. Thank you and good night. And thank you to staff, all of you. Nicely done job.